You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to another edition of Influence, the global podcast that shines a spotlight on the influencer marketing industry. My name is Gordon Glenister. For those of you that don't know who I am, I'm a keynote speaker, trainer, and consultant in the sector and published author on influencer marketing strategy. Influence is also a proud member of the Marketing Podcast Network, where you can listen to other amazing influencer and marketing related shows. And in this special podcast series, kindly brought to you in association with LTK, we're looking at the world of fashion content creators. But before we start, please don't forget to subscribe to this podcast series just to make sure that you don't miss a future episode. And so today I'm talking with curve model Molly Campsie. And I began by asking her, you know, what she's been up to right now.
So I've got a background in curve modeling. I was a plus size model for about 6 years and then gradually built up a following because I think people related to a larger body and liked seeing somebody happier in a larger body as well. I was in a telesales call center about 3 years ago.
Were you?
I know. I think a lot of people build their life around their work. And I feel very lucky that I've managed to flip that.
That's brilliant. So obviously you're selling clothes on behalf of other brands. So tell us a little bit about the brand partnerships that you've been working on. And why do you think they've been so successful?
A lot of the brand partnerships I do are a lot of high street things. So all your big names, kind of ASOS, Topshop, Nasty Gal, people like that. And doing Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok with ads on all those different platforms. And I think what's interesting about LTK is it allows me to monetize all my organic content, because I think influencers only had the choice of doing organic, which didn't earn them any money, but was important for growth and not to have a stream of ads, versus doing ad collabs. And I think there's a very interesting fusion with LTK now joining those two together. So LTK facilitates monetization pretty much 24 hours a day if I wanted to do it that much. And the reason I think why it's been so successful, well, apparently people say I'm quite seamless in the way that I sell. And I think selling is always quite a dirty word and it doesn't necessarily need to be. I think what's interesting about me is because I was bigger, I found a way of solving a problem, which it still isn't really solved by that many influencers. A lot are size 8, size 10 girls. And being at like 16 or 18 end, there's still a problem where people don't know how to style things. They want to be comfortable. They don't know where to shop. They don't know how to put outfits together. So by creating content that solves that problem, I'm able to monetize the solutions. And I think a lot of people say that I'm quite refreshing. So I talk about, like, you know, thigh chafing balms that you might need in the summer. And it's not all kind of glitzy, what you might love to wear to dinner. I can do those kind of ones as well. But just being really honest about, I love solving those little problems in your life. And I'm nearly 30 next year. So I think comfort's starting to take a precedence over style. So when you can find the two that mix, that's when it works really well.
And you get lots of feedback from your audience. You know, what's great about this medium, unlike many others, is you're getting real-time feedback, aren't you?
Yeah, the feedback loop is really unparalleled. I think that's true for the influencers and the brands themselves, which is why brands are waking up to the power of influence. So I think that's twofold. I get really qualitative feedback directly from my audience as soon as something goes live. So that's usually in the forms of comments, and you can have like discussions on your posts, on your YouTube, that sort of thing. And I can see what does and doesn't work. But then also through a tool like LTK, I get that quantitative data. And I don't know if you've seen the LTK portal, but the analytics are so granular, and I can see in numbers and individual products and then individual brand what really does work and does convert, and also what maybe doesn't as well. It's funny, until you have conversations like this, you don't realize how much you actually know, or until you're speaking with somebody outside with the kind of influencer sphere, you realize how much you've learned just day by day, little by little. And then you're like, wow, it's really big. It's really exciting.
So Molly, how much of the products would you say that you are promoting are sold on promotion?
I think we see huge, ridiculous conversions in the month of November because of Cyber Week and Black Friday. Brands are starting earlier and earlier. The discounts are getting bigger and bigger, and they're all in kind of competition to have the best sale. I think sometimes, again, that can look quite salesy if you're posting on your page, like 50% off, use this code. And when I do brand collabs, I did a mattress collaboration yesterday, and they're like, we want you to say, use this code, and it's 53% off, which is an additional 5% on sale. I was just like, stop, especially on mobile. We've got a very limited space to put really important messages. And I think when you clutter it up with discount sales codes, like percentages, it just looks a bit messy sometimes. And I think if you are kind of selling a product that has extreme amounts of value to it, you don't necessarily need to say that there's a sale for it. A good example of that that I actually did yesterday, I love to put myself in the shoes of the consumer, which, to be fair, I was a consumer looking for new wine glasses. And I was like, well, I want something for water, juice, cocktails that's easy to get. Like, so I got it on Amazon Prime. And I just kind of listed all the reasons that I was sold on that product. And I was like, and they need to be affordable, because if somebody breaks one at a dining room table, like, I don't want to have a vendetta against that guest for the rest of my life. Yes, I think I love putting myself in the shoes of the consumer, because I think sometimes I'm quite hard to sell to, and what would convert me will convert other people. So I like to see it from that way.
I love that. In fact, we've got old fashioned features and benefits that are congruent to the target audience. You just don't need a discount. And if you don't need a discount, think how much revenue the brands are achieving through working with influencers. Because the influencers are ultimately the brand sales channel, aren't they? I must admit, this is a fascinating conversation, and I totally agree with you, to be honest. And if you look like someone is constantly promoting it, it looks like it's sort of devaluing their product positioning. Whereas if you've got somebody telling a story about those, in your cases, wine glasses as a use case, I think it makes a huge difference.
100%. It really takes me back to my telesales days of like fab selling. And with a couple of brands recently, they're like, talk about this feature, this feature, this feature. I'm like, people don't care. We buy for emotional reasons. And I think that's where influencer marketing really excels, is that there is that emotional connection with somebody that you might have followed for 5 years, and you know where they went on their honeymoon and their boyfriend's name and all that kind of stuff. And it's so intrinsic, and you get this kind of cult following of people who know that you recommend good things. They're the same size as you. Like, I think sizing for me is so key, because people will now follow me and be like, I'm the exact size measurements of you. I've never met anybody online who has the same figure that I do.
I love your strap line, your bio strap line, chunky and funky. Well, that for me is all about personality that resonates with much of the content that you put out, which, by the way, is very, very good. And that's why people stay, isn't it? It's quality content. So I'm speaking with Molly Campsey today, and we'll be back just after this.
This episode is brought to you by LTK, the pioneers of creator commerce. LTK is the platform on which creators are now driving more than $3 billion in annual retail sales with its content monetization and brand collaboration tools. Thousands of global creators come to LTK to grow their flagship creator shop, which you can discover on the LTK shopping app today.
Today, I'm with the wonderful Molly Campsey. So how much, Molly, of your content is used in ads for the brand as opposed to just organically driven by you?
With brands putting budget behind it to boost how many people are seeing it, that happens very rarely with me, like maybe once or twice a year. And I think everyone's trying to find a way to cheat this algorithm. And it always comes back to the idea of creating really good, high quality content. And they say for you to go viral, it either has to be entertaining, educational, or inspirational, or a combination of all of them. I've really enjoyed being on TikTok particularly because the algorithm's different. And I think TikTok are trying to get more, they're trying to give more reward back to content creators in order to come away from competing platforms, I imagine. But it's been really interesting to experiment with different formats of content. So just little things like learning about hooks and what gets people. And I think that's always so much better than paid spend. And also when brands give me a bit more creative freedom, because I know my audience best, sometimes you get they're being too prescriptive. And I'm almost at the point where I'm just like, guys, can I do this? Because I really want this to be good for you and for me, not only because I'm proud of my work, but secondly, because I see each piece of content, particularly if it's paid, as a springboard to the next piece of paid content. A really good example of that was a brand called Footner, who do the exfoliating peel socks. And they came to me and they just gave me total carte blanche. And because of that, I was able to, I researched for weeks, which I would never do usually if a PR was being quite prescriptive. But because I was allowed to do exactly what I wanted to do, I was just researching just all sorts of thumbnails, and this was for YouTube and keywords for the title, all that kind of stuff. And I had 2,000 subscribers at the time. So it was a tiny YouTube channel. It still is quite small, but now it's nearly at 1.5 million views because I just went nuts on researching like SEO and why people were watching and clicking and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Sorry, to answer your question, I think quality content will always dominate paid spend.
And what about your own brand? Is there any future in you having your own clothing brand or something very specific? I just wondered what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's been something we've been thinking about recently, although sometimes I feel like they are for brand's sake slightly. And I don't want to come out with another makeup product or a skincare line or athletic wear is another place I think that's really oversaturated. I think if I was to do something, it would be something that's very true and niche and specific, because I think that's probably the best way to go in is go very, very, very niche and then try and expand. But with the way the influencer industry is at the moment, I'm just so one of those people that's like, I'm so busy, but I am. And it's so profitable right now. It needs to make financial sense and be the best use of my time. So I won't say no, but I think not right now.
That definitely makes sense. And so then just lastly, what's the future look like for you? And were there any other brands that you like to work with?
I'd like for Curve and Bigger Girls to be more part of the influencer culture. So even with beauty, we never really saw many Curve girls doing it. I think when Ashley Graham was the face of Revlon, she was the first ever plus size woman used in beauty. And I mean, that's not even, you're not even including your body in that. It was, there's just a stigma around being bigger that the beauty industry didn't want to involve itself in. So I think showing more of that with more brands, and everyone is waking up to it a lot more. So more diversity in the influencer industry in general. And yeah, just more collabs, high fees. I'd love more creativity as well. And just picking up on all the new waves. So like TikTok and YouTube are like a really big focus for me because I feel like I've kind of nailed Instagram now. And the next wave will be through TikTok. I think YouTube's incredible for longevity though. And, you know, TikTok could have a Vine moment. And what I love about LTK is it de-risks your future. And it's kind of social media, but it's also totally separate. It monetizes my content without being beholden to any kind of algorithm or, you know, Instagram blackout that we had a couple of weeks ago, that sort of thing. So I think de-risking more platforms, more subscribers and followers on all the platforms, and just keeping myself happy. It's not always about money and followers and stuff, just being like a happy self.
That's lovely. Well, Molly, I have to say it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today, and all the very best for the future.
Thank you so much for having me. You're so easy to speak to.
That's it for another edition of Influence. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow, where I'll be chatting with Scottish-based influencer Louisa Hatt. Thanks, as always, to my producer, Neil Whiteside from Freedom One. And until next time, from me, Gordon Glenister, it's bye for now.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.